talk New York sports with us. 888-808-1019. Powered by AT&T Business.
Yeah, on the other side, we flip the calendar. It's officially Juan Soto basketball jersey today, a jersey day today. It's just like the amount of people that have reached out to me for tickets or advice on how to get one of these jerseys. I'm like, this is one of the hottest giveaways of all time. Go get in line right now. Camp out. Go ahead and pull up to the Bronx right now. Keith McPherson on the Fan, KM to 2 a.m. Let's reset the table here. Reshuffle the deck and take these next 2 hours of calls and topics, and I'll sprinkle in a couple more things. So, I mean, sticking with baseball, because I am a baseball fan. I like watching baseball. So, sorry, I'm not your guy to call up and talk about Caitlin Clark. I'm not. I have no reference. I was just telling Marco, I spoke about the Liberty on the station more than anyone, because this is a station where every day we talk about the drought and who's going to win a championship, and I'm like, yo, in Barclays Center, they're hosting the finals. And I can only name a couple of players on the team. So, no, I'm not going to talk about Angel Reese or Caitlin Clark, because I'm not the guy for that. But I understand that's a big talking point. I have no comments on it other than I'm not your guy. I'm not your buddy guy. He's not your friend guy. Listen, if you want to talk about Gerrit Cole's return, let's do that. I was listening to Ricky Ricardo and Susan Waldman talk about Gerrit Cole's return. And Gerrit Cole is supposed to come back in June. It's June. He made his first rehab start today in Somerset. I already told you, if you want to actually watch that, the YES Network is going to air that at 12 noon today. I'll be watching it. That's 100% guarantee. Anyway, Gerrit Cole goes out there, does his thing, and I'm listening to Ricky Ricardo and Susan try and guess when he's going to come back. And Ricky Ricardo predicts maybe that Orioles series, because, oh, here come the big bad Orioles, right? Yankees got to have their best ready for the big bad Orioles, who won 101 games and got swept out of the postseason. Anyway, and then Susan does her calculations and she goes, maybe the Mets series, the Subway series. And I'm like, sounds good to me. Right here in New York? Okay, you know, the Yankees will be in New York from the 18th to the 26th. Later this month, as they'll have the Orioles for three, which I already talked about, the 18th, 19th, 20th, and then the Atlanta Braves. We won't get to see Ronald Acuna Jr., but we'll get to see the Braves that weekend, and then we've got two in Citi Field. So maybe Cole will be back then. Let's see. Cole channeled that energy tonight, blah, 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 over scoreless, 3 1/3 scoreless innings. Like, as I was watching the clips, Somerset Patriots were putting some stuff out, and I said, you know, Brendan Cuddy was out there. I'm thinking about these minor leaguers facing Gerrit Cole, the reigning AL Cy Young winner. It's like, you're not touching this guy's stuff. But, like, I'm sure they all go into the batter's box thinking, like, yo, this is my opportunity. He did give up two hits, and I'm sure those guys are texting everybody they know, yo, I got to knock off Gerrit Cole. But welcome back, Cole. He goes 3 1/3, two innings pitched, and the plan was for him to toss 40 to 50 pitches. He threw 45 pitches, 34 for a strike. So, man, everything turning up roses for your New York Yankees. On one hand, they have a guy in the conversation for AL Cy Young, in the conversation to start the All-Star game for the American League, and it's not Gerrit Cole, it's Luis Gil. And on the other hand, they actually have Gerrit Cole. We got Gerrit Cole, and he's on the way back. Like, if you hear me talk about the postseason the last couple years, what do I say you need in the postseason, man? You need that combo punch, that game two, game one, like 1-2 AB, 1A, 1B. Like, you need that. That's how you're able to, like, at least feel confident and get through that no matter what happens with your lineup. If they potentially disappear, man, what's the other team's lineup going to do potentially against a Luis Gil, Gerrit Cole? Gerrit Cole, Luis Gil, rather. Gerrit Cole's definitely getting the ball game one. But, man, we can dream. We can't fast forward. Nobody knows what the future's looking like. Pray for health. Peter in Manhattan on the Fan. What's up, Peter? You got it.
How you doing, Keith? Good morning, guy. Just quickly, I don't know if you heard the show yesterday, but Paulie and Chris had us cracking up. I mean, just hilarious. Funnier than any Saturday night skit. So if you want to hear it, please do.
I went to sleep.
I was cracking up for a good hour.
But I think just they hilarious put it out on Twitter talking about a single.
Yeah. Verse hits. I mean, just hilarious, Keith. I'm thinking about it, I'm cracking up.
See,
I mean, really.
We're not
really,
just
really funny stuff,
guys. We're also music guys. I have to go back and listen. I'm telling you, after I heard Chris's open, I showered up and got in bed. I felt like crap yesterday. I went to sleep because I was like, I can't miss tomorrow.
Really classic. Yeah, Keith, I have two points I want to make. You know, we're talking about, you know, October baseball. I think it's critical, and you know this, that the Yankees finish in first place. I mean, if you don't win the division, you have an extra layer of playoffs, and then the playoff series is shorter. So there's two negatives, and not finishing first place. So I think for the Yankees to go all the way, they have to win the division.
I'm right
now,
there
the
with you.
The question I have for you is, you know, there was mention about a six-man rotation. You know, now, you know, they can't do it now, but maybe when Cole comes back. So the question I have for you, can you tell me the advantages, disadvantages, the feasibility, and the effect on the bullpen on a six-man rotation? Keith, thank you, and have a good evening.
Thanks for the call. Yeah, so earlier I was talking about stack wins. We play today, we win today, that's it. That you stack wins because you don't know what's going to happen health-wise. You also stack wins. You go out with the intentions of never laying down. There are no punt lineups. We're going to win the game today because you create those competitive habits. Juan Soto is the most competitive baseball player I have ever watched. Literally, he doesn't take a pitch off. He's not putting the bat on his shoulder. He's not just letting you do whatever. He steps into the box. I heard Susan reference this tonight. The MLB Network interview with Harold Reynolds. They were chilling in the ballpark before anyone really got out there, and Howard Reynolds asked him about the Soto shuffle, and he said, when I step into the box, I want to own the box. And he's letting the pitcher, the catcher, the umpire, and anyone in the world that may be watching live in the stadium or at home know that this is my batter's box while I'm over here. And man, you have to compete like that because that is what's going to carry you through the highest level of competition that comes in October. And like Peter just said, man, in this new expanded postseason, you get a bye week. And it just we got it in 2022. What did it do? You know, we didn't have to play in the wild card. But then when we get to the DS, we struggled with the Guardian where like it didn't matter. We ended up playing back to back. You win up, you gotta go to Houston. Like, gotta avoid that if that's the case this year. I know we can't predict the future, whatever. But yeah. And then also with the six-man rotation, I remember listening to Jack Curry talk about it. These guys are creatures of habit. And man, especially the creatures that we're dealing with, not the ones in 203. I'm talking about guys like Gerrit Cole, who got pissed off when Billy Crystal was taking too long in the pregame ceremony and messed up his timing, just his timing of getting out there and his warm-ups to throw the first pitch of the game. Guys like Marcus Stroman, who said, no, I got to stay on my program. I got to stick with my process. I can't take the ball on opening day because I'm already set up 3 weeks out to, you know, do what we planned. Carlos Rodon, who we don't talk enough. We talk plenty enough about Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge gets all the accolades, all the credit across the country. There's no one not giving Aaron Judge his props, especially after he was terrible in April and then shut all of us up this month. So anyone that tells you Aaron Judge doesn't get enough props, I don't know what they listen to. Maybe they don't listen to stuff. Maybe they don't watch stuff. But we're not giving enough credit to Carlos Rodon. Carlos Rodon is a guy that many said, all right, what's the one thing that the Yankees need to happen this year? Oh, well, they got to have a bounce back year from Carlos Rodon. They got to get what they're paying for out of Carlos Rodon. Here it is. He's been pretty solid. Don't want to mess with that. Don't want to throw that guy off. So they're not doing a six-man rotation. And these things work themselves out. Clark Schmidt isn't available, and he's not going to be available for a couple months. Cole is back at the end of this month. So shout to Cody Poteet holding it down as well. I had Cody Poteet a couple parlays. I think his number was at like 4, 4.5. Maybe it was 3.5 because I know I had him 4, 5, 6 strikeouts the other day. But yeah, win. Win these games. Stack these wins. You don't know who's going to go down, where the team might change a little bit. The lineup might change. That's another thing, bros. We're getting consistent lineups. Like, we can expect to see the guys hit where they hit. And for years we were screaming, why do the Yankees lead the league in lineup changes? It's going to help if there's some consistency. And look at the results. Bob is in Groton, Connecticut. Is it Groton? Groton? Groton?
Groton, Connecticut. Groton, Connecticut. Sub-base in London. Largest submarine base in
Shout
the world.
Shout out to Groton.
Yeah. Okay.
Do people say rotten? Like, I bet kids are like, where are you from? Groton? Like, rotten? Ha ha.
Rotten. By the way, Groton is a great town. It's quiet.
Except for like when it's rotten, corner. Rotten.
No, I tell you what, come up here and you'll love it. You'll never want to leave. It's got great schools as well.
I bet.
Connecticut's a great place to live.
It's small, but it's underrated. There's a lot of different spots in Connecticut. I've driven through.
Yep. Anyway, quick point, Keith. Actually, I called you one other time. The Toronto Blue Jays, how bad are they? They're terrible, aren't they?
Yeah, what about that Alec Manoah, watch your mouth. He said that the worst cheater in the history of baseball was Gerrit Cole. Since he uttered those words, his career has gone down the toilet. And I don't wish injury on anybody. I don't laugh at guys being hurt. But he might be cooked. Like, his career might be done. And they were talking about him as an AL Cy Young favorite not long ago.
I know. What happened to him? I remember it was 2022. He was unhittable.
He dominated us. His first start in Yankee Stadium. I'm like, oh, here we go. Another guy for them to deal with. Just when you think the Blue Jays are getting right with their pitching, they can never figure it out. And all of their, you know, nepotism, all of their sons of whatever, that's over with. Those guys are going to be on the trade block.
Oh, my God. So, to my Yankees point, Luis Gil completely neutralizes every lineup he faces, neutralizes them.
Yeah.
Neutralizes them.
Remarkable.
It's like anti-sting agent from a bee. The bee's sting is not, you know, is it going to work? He just prevents hits.
They can't touch his stuff. It's wild. AJ Preller didn't ask for him. They asked for Drew Thorpe. They didn't ask for this guy. Like, I knew that he was coming back. I remember I sent a tweet out last year, like, yo, where is Luis Gil? Is he the next Davey Garcia? Did they ruin him? And somebody was like, do your research. Aren't you on the radio? I'm like, my bad. I'm not keeping up with every single guy that gets Tommy John and then goes into the abyss. I know he's on his way back next year. Did anybody know he was going to be this? No. Even when we were watching him in spring training, we didn't know he was going to be like this.
Yeah, well, Davey Garcia is on the scrap heap now. You'll never see him in a Yankee uniform at the Major League
level. But remember
that
name? We thought Davey Garcia was about to be the next guy. He started a postseason game for us.
Well, if you take a look at his minor league scouting reports, Davey Garcia was known for like a 12 to 6 o'clock curveball, but it never could amount. He didn't have control, so that's probably what his big problem is always going to be.
He was an undersized guy as well. I don't know. Either way, I thought that there was a chance that the Yankees messed up Luis Gil, because if you remember a couple seasons before, he came up here with spot starts and they kept sending him down. They love to exhaust options when they can, but I'm like, that messes with a guy's psyche. A guy comes up to Yankee Stadium, he gets that energy from the crowd, he dominates, and they're like, see ya. Not sending him down now. He was optioned in spring training when Gerrit Cole was healthy. Not anymore. Like, this guy's going nowhere, and we just got to keep him healthy, keep him ready for October, preserve him, please.
Crazy, crazy, crazy. But the main reason why I called is the 2022 season. I remember it, and I've done a lot of analysis on it. I mean, not too much, but, you know, goodoldbaseballreference.com, and it is remarkable how much we won. In some of the games that we won, there was no explanation how we won. It most certainly wasn't because of a potent lineup, because if you remember, there were holes.
Yeah.
Like,
it wasn't real.
Four out of five, that lineup, four out of five of the slots were completely unreliable, because Joey Gallo was, I mean, my God, automatic out, IKF, automatic out. Oh, my God.
Aaron Hicks. Josh Donaldson.
Aaron Hicks. Josh Donaldson, terrible. And, Keith, I just want to let you know I was trying to forget Aaron Hicks's name, so thank you very much for once again complicating my life. But Josh Donaldson, terrible. But that team one in, like, look, did I make comparisons with 1998? You'd have to just by the win rate. But that team, they faced the 2024 team. 2024 is kicking their butt.
Yeah, and like spiking the bat, flipping the bat, barking at them, like banging their chest. God. Like, it's a whole different vibe, Bob. Thank you for the call. 888-808-1019. Like, bro, Oswald Peraza started in the 2022 ALCS for the New York Yankees at shortstop. It's not the same. There's nothing the same. I mean, there's some of the same players, but, like, the vibe is way different. And when I said it was not real, like, there were just parts of it. Bro, we were dependent on Marwin Gonzalez. I remember I caught Marwin Gonzalez home run in spring training. if he were actually like, all right, Marwin Gonzalez, like, utility, like, no, bro. It just wasn't going down. It was never going down. Like, we were relying on Tim LeCastro. It's funny now. Avery's in Manhattan on the Fan in New York.
Hey, Keith, am I going to see you tomorrow at the game?
Yeah, I'm in there. I'm in there. I was sick today. I would have been at the game today, but I not sick today because obviously I'm at work. But, man,
well,
I wasn't
there today.
Yeah,
anyway.
Or yesterday now because it's Wednesday. So I was going Tuesday,
right, exactly.
And I will definitely be there today to get my Juan Soto jersey and whoop it up with the fans and try and tell as many people, yo, pull up this weekend for the Dodgers series. Pantone's coming through. They think they're going to do something out here and not doing the damn thing.
Well, 118 accessibility level right outside the team store. You know, find me. But these Yankees are really, I mean, Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, John Carlson, I don't even know. Luis Hill, where did this come from? Because I know I was so pessimistic before the season started. All of a sudden,
it came from last year.
Like,
that's why. That is what I'm here to remind you all of. Last year sucked.
I'm just going back. I'm not even giving any specific things
this
right now.
This is a
I'm
result of 82 and 80. This has nothing to do with the Rangers, nothing to do with the Knicks. This has everything to do with the New York Yankees being humbled last year. With Brian Cashman saying, you know what, on paper, we thought that roster was good enough. Turns out it wasn't good enough. We got to do better. They did better. You're seeing the fruits of their labor.
And I'm going to make my favorite Keith McPherson reference right here, all right? But I'm going to put it in a different context. And we thought Aaron Judge was cooked in April. We must be cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Some people did. I just thought he was hurt because I'm like, yo, they pulled him out of spring training. I watched
this
guy.
Well, I didn't think he was cooked forever. I just thought it wasn't going to be.
It's okay if you thought he was cooked. What it means is you've watched Aaron Judge and you recognize this is not Aaron Judge. You're not a hitting coach that could say, oh, well, he's just got to position his hands. He's got to get closer to his feet, to the plate. Oh, his timing's a little. You're not a hitting coach. You're a baseball fan. And the regular baseball fan doesn't even have to be a Yankee fan could tell in April, something's not right with that guy. He's not a 200 hitter. He hits way more home runs. He doesn't get struck out on fastballs down the middle of the plate. So me, I said, where is the guy that we all know and love? He's got to be hurt. And if he's hurt, shut him down because the focus is October. He silenced
us. I just want to repeat the thing that you also
well,
just made.
Well, you know
sure
where that came
remember.
From. That you came can't. From Avery. That came from Aaron Boone telling us, well, if you don't think Josh Donaldson can have a bounce back
season. No, I know. Yeah. I know exactly where it came from. We love Gio, but he's no Josh Donaldson.
No, it came from the fact that Boone told us you got to be crazy to think that that Josh Donaldson can't have a bounce back season.
No,
I'm like, crazy.
Crazy.
I must be cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Right, exactly.
I didn't want this guy anywhere near the team.
No, exactly. Like David Garcia starting a playoff.
No,
game.
I knew that. My nerves. My nerves when they brought J-Hap out of the bullpen. I'm like, there's no way in hell this is going to work. Kevin Cash and the Tampa Bay Rays. Why are we trying to be the Rays? Play Yankee baseball.
But anyway, hopefully, I mean, we're not in the clear yet. They're not in the clear yet, but you can't. I wanted to say what you keep saying. You can't win pennants in what is it? It's June now. You can't win pennants in June.
They don't give out rings
in June.
We've
got to enjoy what we have and hope that
and stack wins because this is a gauntlet coming up.
It's going to happen again, but it's a different team, and that is undeniable. And I mean, look, let's just hope everybody stays healthy. I mean, I'm looking at Giancarlo right now hitting, what is it, 17 home runs now?
Yeah.
I mean,
the
I know
the schedule they have for him is working.
You got this is why the deadline is going to be so important, because you never know. And we've been lucky after being unlucky for so many years. Finally, we're lucky with having healthy players. These baseball gods you speak of are finally looking down upon us and saying, oh, it's Lewis Gill. Lewis Gill, here he is. Here's a gift for you. We got to use that. We got to use everything. They'll beef up this team, and I have confidence.
Good. Thank you for that call, Avery. That was funny. The whole, yeah, the cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Like, nah, if you thought Aaron Judge was cooked, you're not that crazy, because you that just recognizes, or that's just you recognizing, like, no, bro. I think I made the analogy, or not the analogy, but the reference to the Monstars. I'm like, what, the Monstars come and zap his powers? Like, there's no way. So just logical, like, thinking, a guy that ran into the wall in Dodger Stadium last year, we owe y'all for that as well this weekend. Just thinking about a guy that ran into the wall, broke his toe, missed half the season last year, comes into spring training, they pull him after two at-bats in the middle of spring training, they say he's spring beat up. If he has a slow start, what are you to think? Some of you thought he's cooked. He just turned 32. He's washed. He got all of his money. This is it. Some of you, like myself, thought, yo, he's got to be hurt. And if you've watched enough baseball seasons, you know there's no point in pushing it through April. If a guy is a little bit hurt or compromised, shut him down now for the future. Judge said, nah, I'm not hurt. I'm not washed. And I'm the silencer. That's a new nickname for Judge, the silencer. Because this guy will silence all critics. I'm not worth the contract. Here's 62 home runs. Shut up. Pay me. Okay. I'm terrible. I'm washed. I'm hurt. I'm trashed. I'll never be in MVP form again. Here goes a historic month. You're going to be comparing me to Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig. Like, what? You know, another thought that just came to my mind, and I haven't mentioned his name yet. Embrace the Martian. Embrace the Martian. Like, Jason Dominguez is going to make it extremely difficult to leave him in the minors. When you already know what he did last year in a short amount of time, right? He's young. He's 21. He's fully healthy. And I had this thought where I'm like, all right, if Cashman doesn't go all in at the deadline, what other moves are going to be? Well, there could be the call-up of Jason Dominguez. There's not much room for him, but, like, I know everybody loves Jamai Jones, but, like, Jamai Jones versus Jason Dominguez, who would you rather have on the bench? And Jason Dominguez, I don't care about service time or none of that either. Jason Dominguez being 21 years old, like, if you're going all in to win this whole thing this year, you do not leave that young man. You bring him up. If he keeps hitting, like, now he's going to hit against AAA pitching, but if he keeps hitting the way he's hitting against AA, AAA, whatever, it is an obvious sign that this man belongs up here. And what do you do with him if you don't have any room? Because we want to pray for the health of the New York Yankees. And we want, oh, and as I look at Jason Dominguez goes 0 for 3 while leading off for the Rail Riders in his debut tonight. Oh, well, I guess we got to keep him in the minors. Good. A little humble pie. But don't give him long to adjust to that. But here's a thought for the Yankee fans. What do they do with Dominguez? Just leave him there until September or whatever? Or, you know, not for nothing, Trent Grisham as a throw-in with the Juan Soto deal. In theory, it was like, oh, great, a Gold Glove caliber center fielder that we can put in center field to give Judge a rest, to give Judge a break. He hasn't hit. He hasn't been effective at all. And it is what it is. It's hard for the guy to get going once every other series. But, man, why not make that Jason Dominguez's role? He's young. I think he'll be humble enough to understand, hey, you're only going to get in here. And as we get later in the season, maybe those opportunities come up more where Judge is DHing and Stanton is out and you're putting this young man in center field. Or maybe there's a day where you want to give Juan Soto a rest, dare I say it. I know Juan Soto wants to play every day, where you say, hey, Judgy, bump back over to right. We're going to rest Juan Soto against, I don't know who it might be. And we're going to put, like, there's options there with him at the major league level. I don't know what to think. I just keep thinking that, yo, the Yankees have an embarrassment of riches. And this young man did it at the major league level last year. The first swing of the bat, he took Justin Verlander deep in Houston. And we were all like, whoa, that's different. That's a different feeling. And the Yankees haven't lost in Houston since. So now, if he's healthy, which he is, if he starts dominating for the Rail Riders, right? He dominated at Somerset. If he dominates AAA, send him. And we'll figure out what to do with Trent Grisham. Anybody, you can trade Trent Grisham. Anybody will take him in center field with his defense. And with the thought that if he plays for you every day or platoons there, he can hit better. 888-808-1019. I'm not getting greedy. I'm just thinking of options. And it ain't getting greedy when it's your own team. Like, we've been waiting for Jason Dominguez. Talk about this window and this era. Like, Jason Dominguez is a part of this. How many trade deadlines did Brian Cashman pass on trading Jason Dominguez, right? Tonight I tweeted out, y'all still crying about signing Carlos Correa, Yankees fans and Mets fans? No, because you have Anthony Volpe. And you see Carlos Correa, I guess he's a 250 hitter, and obviously he's got a strong arm and a good glove, but he got rang up three times by Luis Gil tonight. I'll take Anthony Volpe. It was worth the wait. I understand the whole IKF stopgap shortstop thing, whatever. It was short-lived. But I tip my cap to Brian Cashman and them again. They're not always right, but sometimes big decisions like that, they were right on that one. I'm glad I never had any interest in Carlos Correa, not for a second. Not for a second. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Let's talk about Francisco Alvarez, Francisco Lindor, Pete Alonso, Mark Vientos, that Mets bullpen. And, you know, just not blowing a good start. How many good starts are you going to get until you find a way to just close the door and seal one? What was it Dedeniel Nunes? Good for you, bro. Good for you and for David Peterson. The Mets, actually, as much as we talked about their pitching being a weakness, not the bullpen, their starting rotation, they've got more than a couple guys that can get you through 5-6 innings where the Mets score runs. Thank God the Yankees aren't getting shut out anymore. That was so whack. The first, like, I think it was like the first 11 losses, five of them were shutouts, and a bunch of them, a couple of them were in Yankee Stadium. I'm glad that's done. We'll mix the Mets into the conversation. We'll keep taking your calls on the Yankees, of course. And when it gets later in the show, I'm going to talk about this Athletics pitcher, Padres minor league pitcher, Diamondbacks minor league pitcher, and Phillies minor league pitcher. All these guys bet on baseball, and they're in trouble now. And Shohei Ohtani's good. Shame on you. You thought Shohei Ohtani bet on baseball? No way. He's just a dum-dum and let somebody go in and change his bank account information. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back.
When this happened, you talked about it on the Fan.
It'll be a 1-1 to Judge. The pitch swung on and hit. Deep center field. Trout on the run. Aaron Judge, number 50.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
And we're back. Just like that. This that Grey Poupon, that AV on that TED Talk. Hey. KM to 2 a.m. Good to be back on the, like, regular grind like this. I feel like I've done more of these shows than any other shows. Obviously, I've done a lot of the five-hour KM to AMs, but KM to 2 a.m. follows the Yankee game, and I feel like I've done more than those. I think that's fact, if I had to check the math. Third year, third season doing this, and that's why I said, you know, earlier I want to restore the feeling. There's a lot of people that I know. Shout out to my guy Dave Rifkin. He's always like, man, hit that remix. It's like my Frank Sinatra hip-hop beat that comes in. It's just part of, you know, a lot of people listening to the broadcast and getting in their car after the game. And when I say a lot, I don't know that number. But I know there's a lot of people that are like, bro, it hits different when you get on the Fan after a Yankees win. I'm like, that's how I feel too. That's how I feel too. But let's talk about the Mets. The thing about the Mets, right, I know it is not great right now. It is not what you even expected right now, even being down on the team. But I know I've talked about the identity of this team, and right now the identity of this team is the owner, and really David Stearns, the president of baseball operations, because there's a good shot that they do what they did last year, back-to-back years, and sell off at the deadline. So, like, the identity of this team can't be guys that potentially could be gone. You don't know who could be gone because you have an owner that can afford to send anybody away, eat any contract, and potentially fast-forward the future. And with David Stearns knowing that, who knows what they might be able to do. I would take David Stearns doing what Billy Epler did last year over Billy Epler 10 times out of 10, just based on his resume, his baseball business acumen, his history, like his pedigree. Like I think that he probably has more connections and relationships. He's probably highly regarded, more so than we know from his time in Milwaukee. I can't necessarily think of any trades or deals that they did with any other teams in Milwaukee. That's a good project for somebody. Maybe one of the Mets fans on WFAN will go back and look at the trade deadline for the Milwaukee Brewers and the moves that David Stearns has made. Probably count how many different moves he made with certain franchises and maybe look to the future like, hey, this guy's got a direct line with the Arizona Diamondbacks, so there's a chance that we do something there. But what I'm getting at is that, okay, if the identity of the team is so much centered around the new president of baseball operations and what he's doing, you can't be mad at the guy. He's doing his job. If rock bottom was Memorial Day weekend, I feel like rock bottom's got to coincide with Memorial Day weekend, Friday, May 24th, for two reasons. Evan with the whole beard thing. Evan is powerful, man. This guy is a season ticket holder. He came out with the book My Mets Bible this year. He came into the season growing his beard for Pete Alonso to get a contract extension and went back on it so that Pete Alonso could get going, and it turned the Mets season around. It did the opposite. And that game that night, I can't tell you how much I was cracking up, just enjoying all the sports that Friday night after DJs. But that Friday night, when five runs were given up in the eighth to blow that game, man, rock bottom was right around then, because Steve Cohen was talking about, hey, let us know how you guys like this tote bag that was attributed to some music artist. It was like, what, Steve? Is that a joke? Like, he was dead ass about that. He wasn't even joking. Like, he actually asked for feedback on the tote bag giveaway. That's like, bro, these fans are going to watch the team play. They're not worried about a tote bag. And out of all the giveaways, like, real baseball fans aren't like, oh, I can't wait to go to the ballpark tonight. There's a special edition tote bag. So, like, if the identity of your team is the owner and the president of baseball operations, Steve, I think, has to obviously tweet less, right? Literally tweeted at a fan account, right? After they got rid of Gen NY Mets, right? Didn't they get them out the paint? And then he's tweeting at another similar type account about, oh, well, we can't do anything until the deadline. Like, tweet less, dude. Just, it doesn't help anything. You're a billionaire. You don't have to build your brand. I know you can't go to any more Knicks games and show face there. Show up to Yankee games. Show up to, you can't go to Rangers either. But just don't do the Twitter. It doesn't help anything. Twitter is for people that are trying to be heard, trying to be seen, and some that are trying to be heard and seen without showing their face and name, if you pick up what I'm putting down. But what I'm saying about the Mets, I'm getting there, I'm landing the plane, is David Stearns is doing his job. They had the rock bottom, then they had another rock bottom with the whole Jorge throwing his glove, and they called the team meeting. And since the team meeting, they have won some games, and since the team meeting, they have shaken up the clubhouse. There are some new faces, some new names, old and young, and you're realizing, right, even with this Jeff McNeil stuff, hey, they're not just sitting by and watching the building burn down. They are doing something about it. They are working through it. It's a long season, and nobody actually knows where it's going to go. So 888-808-1019, like the station. Pamela up in the Bronx, you're on the Fan. What's up, Pam?
What's up, Keith? You know, Keith, what you just said, that's what I wanted to talk about. George Lopez, when he threw his glove in the Fan. Mm-hmm. What is that about? What is that going on with that?
You know what I chalked that up to? The guy was frustrated, and he really let his emotions get the best of him. And I talked about it that night. I came to find out it was his son's birthday, and his son has a condition that is pretty serious. So, you know, a lot of times we forget that these guys are human. But when he first did that, we were laughing, right? We were making jokes about it. Then when we found out the human element of what was going on with him, and he got DFA'd, you kind of feel bad. But I felt like that needed to happen. That needed to happen for them to say, okay, team meeting, and for the president of baseball operations to immediately make some changes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I want to talk about, I watched the Yankees game tonight. It was very good, you know. Very good game. And I also want to talk about the Giants. I know I shouldn't talk about this, but why are they keeping Daniel Jones? What's going on with that?
Watching the Yankees is something that everybody should do. I encourage everybody that watches baseball to watch a full Yankee game start to finish. If you haven't seen Luis Gil pitch, put that on your schedule to watch him next time. If you haven't seen the combination of Volpe, Soto, Judge leading off, or Judge batting third after Volpe leads off and Soto bat second, like do that. I'm glad you enjoyed the Yankee game. Why are the Giants keeping Daniel Jones? And I'm going to tell you this, and I'm going to let you go. You probably heard me say this on the fan. You probably heard Big Mac say this on the fan. During last football season, I'm like, what good is it to beat the Patriots, to beat the Commanders that are also going to be looking for quarterbacks? You're letting a undrafted free agent in Tommy DeVito quarterback this team to victory for what? So that the head coach looks better? Why? He's not going to look good when all the stories come out about how he yells at people, Wink Martindale's whole situation. You are messing up your future. If they did not beat the Patriots, if they did not beat the Commanders, they would have had a better chance of trading up or just drafting Drake May like they wanted to. So instead of drafting J.J. McCarthy, which would have been a mistake at six, they got the best explosive weapon that they could get because they lost their most explosive weapon in Saquon Barkley. They paid Daniel Jones, which is absolutely crazy. I saw a graphic the other day with Daniel Jones, Dak Prescott, Matthew Stafford, Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson, and how much money these guys do. Those are five of the top paid quarterbacks, and most of them are fraudulent. It's not about being the best. It's about having the best representation. Mm-hmm. And Daniel Jones went and hired the best representation, and they got him a hell of a deal. So the Giants are paying him. They're playing him.
Yeah. It's just crazy. All right, yeah. Keith. Well, thank you. For me calling, but can I just say one more question?
Yeah.
About the Yankees, right? DJ Mayhew, he's going to be back in June, right?
No, he's
supposed to be back in June.
No, he's been back for plenty of games. He rejoined the team with the Angels, but he's in the lower part of the lineup, so you're not necessarily seeing him as much. But he's back, and I'm not mad at DJ at all so far. Hey, so far, good enough, decent enough. He's putting back the ball. He needs a little bit more luck. But he's had some hits. DJ is back.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you for making me call in, okay? I'm glad to call in.
Pam, appreciate you so much. You are positive online. Thank you for calling the show. I saw you at the T-Mobile store. I can't thank you enough for the support, and the energy is always positive. It's all love.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
It
always
want to
be that way, you know.
Yes. Appreciate you. Thanks for the call, Pam. 888-808-1019. Yeah, DJ is back. DJ LeMayu and Daniel Jones. Keith McPherson on the fan, just talking sports. Whatever y'all want to do, we can do. But, like, I'm not ready to jump into the NFL. The NFL is king. You feel me? We're literally, like they're about to have mandatory camp, and we're going to start talking NFL for real. And what I've learned in the media space, especially with social media, as I talked about, like, it's crazy that, like, Gerrit Cole can have his start in Somerset and we can watch the clips. Now we're going to be able to watch the whole game today. When I was younger, and I don't know, Derek Jeter's making a stint down there, it's like either you go to the Trenton Thunder or you don't see it. Now with the NFL, it's like, oh, Braylon Allen, the 20-year-old running back for the Jets, made a ridiculous catch. And so, and it's just like, all right, where's the video? Now we got to see the video. You know, they have the beat reporters at practice describing everything going on with the Jets. Man, if you can't record with your phones, do not give us the written report. I don't want to see it. It's practice. Good grief. Like, if I had a report of some of the plays that I made in high school and college practices, I'd be legend, bro. If I had some of the tweet, we didn't have Twitter when I first started playing college football. If I had tweets on Keith McPherson with a ridiculous pass, shakes off two defenders, rolls out to his left, throws back down the field. Then even when I played receiver, McPherson lines up to the right, knocks the DB down off the line, sprints down the side, one-handed grab. Like, I would love that, man. I wish. There's no video because I wasn't getting any burn. Most of the games, it was funny. I was just telling this story about, like, how hard college football is versus high school. In high school, I knew all our plays. In high school, I could tell everybody in the huddle, like, somebody is in because someone's hurt or someone that doesn't practice that often or someone that we're just pushing in the game. Like, hey, we see your whole family's here. I could tell you what to do. I could tell you where to line up, whatever. Man, you get to college. To play quarterback in college was harder than any class I took in college. Like, to play quarterback in college, you got to know the defense first. I always tell people, you got to know the defense first. If you don't know what coverage you're getting, if you don't know what kind of front, if you don't know if they're blitzing, if you don't know what is attacking you, you don't stand a chance calling the plays. And when I was at JMU, we ran no huddle. So everything was sign language. So now you got to be able to communicate. They're sending in signals. And if you guys ever see, like, I don't know if they do it so much anymore, Michigan, Oregon, and obviously there was some sign stealing stuff. You know, they put up the flashcards. There was even a time where we had flashcards. Most of it was hand signals, right? So it's like 21 personnel, 2-1, two backs, one tight end. That, so the sign for that would be like we're dealing cards. So it looks like someone is air dealing you cards. So that's just to know the personnel. I'll skip through. I'm not going to go through all the like personnel and the formations, but I was telling one of my boys how, like, bro, when I was in college, I was just so young and dumb and just didn't have a clue. The first year that I'm traveling with the team, I'm the third string quarterback, and I'm just on cruise control, autopilot, and we're playing UNC Chapel Hill. And I'm thinking, there's no way in hell I'm getting into the game, which is the wrong way to think. I didn't think about that again. Later in the season, we played URI. I was literally one play away, and I was sweating bullets. But in the week for the preparation, my coach gave me a DVD of UNC Chapel Hill, the defense they run, and whatever. And then also, like, a write-up. And the Friday before we travel out, or the Friday is the day before we, the day that we're traveling out, we have a meeting in the office, and it's a written test on UNC Chapel Hill, the Tar Heels, what type of front they run, how much they blitz, what to expect from their secondary coverage-wise. And I flunked the test because I didn't look at any of that, thinking, I'm not going to play. I don't need to know this. And my coach embarrassed me in front of the starting quarterback, the second-string quarterback. And he's like, yo, we're not leaving this room until you know what to do, because if these guys get hurt, you're going to go into the game and you have to know what to do. Do you understand? Like, my job is on the line. Like, our university, I'm like, I wasn't taking it serious. Anyway, a little sidebar from wishing that there was footage of all these, you know, things that Connor Hughes and Zach Rosenblatt are tweeting. We're not there yet. We're going to have plenty of time to talk football. Football is king everywhere around you. We can have so many football conversations. They opened up the afternoon drive show talking about C.J. Stroud. I'm like, bro, I don't care what C.J. Stroud thinks. He's played 16 NFL games. I don't care about anything from Gilly the Kid's podcast. My hip-hop heads know who Gilly is. I'm like, they're irrelevant. Now, if they're doing that on WIP with Wallow and Philly being huge Eagles fans from Philadelphia, I understand. But I'm like, we're opening up with the conversation on who's had a better career. One of the quarterbacks' careers is not over. He just said he's going to play another potential 4 more years. I don't know. I was just like, bruh, I guess, you know, we got to talk football. Yeah, the Rangers are done. The Knicks are done. We got to find a way to talk about the NFL. Or if we're talking about the Yankees, it's World Series or bust. Aaron Judge, rather, has got to do it in October. No, can we lock in on what we have in front of us? I was so happy to come back tonight because I had a game to talk about. Minnesota, nice. So nice. You know we're going to beat them twice. And then here come the Dodgers. Let's go to Alex in Bethel, Connecticut on the fan. What's up, Alex?
Hey, what's up, Keith?
Not too much, just forcing the baseball conversation, and I don't have to force it. Hockey is done here. NBA is done here. The Mets are most likely done here. We should be talking about the Yankees on the home of the Yankees, 101.9 FM, 24 hours a day.
Like, I just wanted to talk about how the lineup, Soto, Judge, Volpe, 59-60 games played. So, like,
amazing.
The consistency is amazing.
It's refreshing for a Yankee fan that like you, like me, we wait for the lineup to come out X amount of hours before first pitch, and there's been so many times over the last couple of years where we're like, oh, why are they doing that? I guess, punt lineup, maybe it'll work. Most likely it won't. It is so good that they understand this. I asked Boone when I interviewed him in the Jersey Shore area why they don't do that. He said because they didn't have it before. One of the things they made sure that they had was balance. And they are making an effort to play guys every day as long as they're healthy, because, like, that's what the Texas Rangers did and won it. That's what the Braves have done. Like, that's what teams are having success. That's what the Orioles are doing. Teams are having success with consistency. Go figure.
Let's talk about, like, Rizzo, right? I think it was A.J. Pierzynski's podcast or something, and he showed this play where man on first, Rizzo on second, one out, and a ball gets hit to the shortstop, and he was running on contact, and he might have slowed down a little bit so the ball hit him, but it prevented a double play. Like, that's the kind of, like, heads-up play that we need in October.
In real time, I thought it was a mistake. In real time, I'm like, is this Rizzo being slow, unathletic, and just having an attraction to the ball, hitting him? I think I even tweeted it out, like, Rizzo, skip over that. And then somebody that was literally in the ballpark, they're like, I'm in the ballpark sitting up top behind home plate. That was a tailor-made double play. A bunch of people jumped on me. Tailor-made double play. I'm like, maybe I'm just – Rizzo's in the doghouse a little bit, because I think the night before he costs that game. But, no, that's a heads-up play. Judge even referenced it in the next series. Like, you know, Rizzo making that ball, you know, hit him. Yeah. Because you know what? That stopped. That saved an out. So, yeah, I'm fine with that. And Rizzo, even today, Rizzo looked like he was playing up. And, like, I can just appreciate effort. You know what I'm saying? Trying. That's why sometimes when I see Gleyber Torres, it gets frustrating, because I'm like, bro, you are young. There's no excuse for you being asleep at the wheel so much and you being so cavalier with reaching down for a ground ball, man. Block the ball. Get in front of it. Use your technique and fundamentals that you've been drilling for literally 20 years.
Literally, like, put your glove in the ground.
Yeah, since you were 6, 7 years old, bro, they taught you how to field these ground balls. I don't know. I don't want to get worked up over it. I was having this conversation with one of my boys over the weekend about Gleyber Torres. I'm like, at this point, it's beating a dead horse. At this point, to talk about Gleyber, it happens every week, so stop acting surprised.
He's a knucklehead, but he's our knucklehead.
So. He's ours, and they love him. I saw the picture that Gleyber put on his Instagram of these guys on the plane back. He's one of the guys, but he's got to lock in, because he's going to cost us. And in my heart of hearts, I know that they're not going to let him cost us in October. But, like, is it going to get to the point where they try and see, or is it going to be too late? Is it going to we can't have one of these innings that he gives up an out and then it turns into runs against Marcus Stroman, you know, or gets, like, I don't know.
Got that. Well, I hope you can get out to the game on Saturday. I'm going to be there, so it'd be cool to bump into you. But
I got to do something, like, nice for my wife. I got to do something real nice for my wife. I got to do something on the low that she's not thinking of, and then be like, hey, it's a night game. Jackson's sleeping anyway. Can I dip to the game? Like, I kind of need to go to this game against the Dodgers, bro. We got to hold it down. So, yeah, I'll see you out there, Alex. Thanks for the call. Man, the thing about the Dodgers, like, I've been out there. I've been to Dodger Stadium like 8 times. I know it well. It's one of my favorite ballparks. My sister lives in West Hollywood. My girl Serena lives in Ontario, like a little further out, but she's in the city all the time. Like, whenever I go to LA, I link with them, and I've been in every part of the Dodgers ballpark. I could the rest of my show, I met KD at the Dodgers ballpark during the Home Run Derby a couple years back. He was coming out of the Bank of America suites. My guy Eddie Gonzalez was with him. That's how I even knew KD was coming out of the suites. I seen Eddie, and I knew KD probably wasn't far. So in real life, I got to dap up KD, which was amazing. At the time, he was a Brooklyn Net, and I had my wife and my sister with me. And when they all walked away, he's like, you know, he kind of just signed off. And Eddie and I used to live not far from each other. And my wife and my sister are like, oh, my God, KD knows you. I'm like, yeah, KD knows me, bro. What are you talking about? They're like, yeah, well, he dapped you up, said what's up, Keith. Like, he didn't even flinch. He didn't greet you like it was his first time meeting you. They knew from me because afterwards I was geeked out. I'm like, yo. Like, and it's funny how many people talk about KD. If you actually saw KD in person, he looks like something out of an amusement park. Like, he doesn't look, he looks like an alien, bro. He does, like, I'm 6'2". I'm like, I'm looking at the design on his t-shirt saying what's up to him. Like, oh, man, Dodger Stadium is sick. And the last thing I'll leave you with before we break here in 1 hour, their bleachers are crazy. Like, I remember Giancarlo Stanton talking about going there to watch the game. They're built way different than ours, but that's where everybody gets it in and is drunk and having a good time. And I remember going out there in 2019. There was this guy with this huge glove and a Yankee jersey, and I don't even know if he had a seat. I don't think he sat down, but he was trying to catch a home run, and he was whooping it up, and he was the one leading the "Let's go Yankees!" And they were trying to combat the "Let's go Dodgers," but there were enough Yankee fans there. We didn't plan anything. We didn't coordinate anything on Instagram or Twitter. If you want to see, go to Pantone294, P-A-N-T-O-N-E 294. Tell them Keith sent you. They're plotting on 2,000 fans showing up to do whatever in Yankee Stadium. We didn't have to do that in their stadium, but we'll protect our stadium this weekend. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be back right after this.